You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. If you're looking for some encouragement, words of hope, and maybe a laugh or two, that's exactly what Richard wants to share with you today. We know life can get pretty busy and complicated, so we're truly grateful you've chosen to take a break and listen to the program. Now, if you're not able to hang out with us for the entire program, you can always pick it back up at our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, you can find all of Richard's talks right there waiting just for you, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Apply Inside. Usually if you go to a business, storefront, whatever it is, and you see a sign that says help wanted somewhere, maybe in small print, maybe large, underneath it, you'll see the next words, apply inside or apply within. But you can see all the signs you want, but if you don't apply inside, you're probably not going to end up with that job. Now, there's some system here, some logical reason for what we're talking about today, given what we've talked about recently. There are a lot of people who read, not as many maybe, but there are some who read the Bible. And I've said before, I got nothing against reading the Bible, but you'll be like seed that's dropped on ground that cannot take it in. It doesn't take root. It's gone. So you read the Bible, you go, I read it. I didn't get anything out of it. The Bible doesn't work. I give up. There are other people who read the Bible, and then they'll actually bother to study the Bible. Okay, now this is a big jump. And you actually are getting concordances and commentaries and doing searches online, and you're saying, you know what, I read it, I don't get it 100%, I'm going to take a shot at this, I'm going to see if there's more, maybe I missed something, maybe there's information that I haven't considered, and so you study. That's good. Maybe you even memorize Scripture. And this is something I was encouraged to do as a kid, and frankly did some, but not enough. Now, I can find verses, but I can't find them all. Now, thank God for Google, and I can find them, you know. So, but if you don't have that, then whatever's in your head in that moment, you said, I'd like to pull that out. If you didn't learn it, you don't know it. You say, well, how hard could that be? I don't know. It's hard if you don't know it. Now, for whatever reason in school, Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto, that never left me. I don't use it a lot, but I got that. It's a very odd thing that I know. But if you said right now, quote, go through all, from Genesis to Revelation, do all the books of the Bible, if you offered me $1 billion, I couldn't do it. You say, well, you're a pastor. Why don't you know that? I never learned it. My dad was an evangelist, wasn't really in a Sunday school. We traveled all the time. So while these kids are learning these things, I'm having to practice singing songs that I don't believe. Anyhow, that's a whole nother deal. So do I sit around and worry about it? No. I mean, could I stop and memorize it? I guess. But even if you memorize stuff, you say, oh, I've memorized a lot of Scripture. Now, before you go telling somebody that, you need to make sure you're living all your Scripture. Because where this falls apart is people whip their sword out, and it's not the enemy who gets slashed. You hurt yourself pulling it out of the sheath. You hit other believers with it, and you know, it's not a beam out of your eye, it's a sword out of your eye. Now, is that a bad thing to memorize Scripture? No. Then some people go past memorization. They've got it in there, and then they meditate on it, which I am a huge proponent of meditating on Scripture. So what is the difference in that? So it's kind of the difference. If I dip a steak in some marinade and pull it out and throw it on the grill, technically I got the marinade on it. But if I leave it soaking in there for a few hours and then put it on the grill, it's going to be hard to get that out of there. So if you're meditating on Scripture, that doesn't just mean that you read it, maybe even study it, memorize it. You then maybe have it on a card, and once you know it, then you say, okay, God, I got to think about this. I want to process this. I want this to sink in so deep in me that it becomes a part of me. So when you marinate on Scripture, when you meditate on Scripture, then it gets inside of you. Now, let me tell you what is supposed to happen if you get to that point. Even if you cover all those bases, if you do not do what you read, studied, memorized, meditated on, it's never going to change your life. Now, I brought, where's my soap? Here's my soap. So I use this with people, you know, quite a bit. I have soap. I could chop it up and study it. I could read you. It's really tiny print and some, you know, there's active ingredients and then inactive ingredients. I need the active ingredients. So that's the one I'm most interested in. I could cherish it. Keep it with me always. Under my arm even. You know, carry it right there under my arm. Close to my heart. Have a special pouch made for my soap. But until I unwrap this and get me some water and apply this to my skin, to my body, it's going to do nothing for me. I can have a tractor trailer load full of soap and stink where you couldn't even get near me. You say, well, duh, that's obvious. Okay, then I'm going to duh, that's obvious back to you. So you're reading your Bible, you're studying your Bible, you say you've memorized your Bible, you're meditating on your Bible, then apply your Bible. It should change your life. So you say, well, why are you making a big deal about this? Because there are people here and beyond here. You are listening to sermons. And I have people come up to me along the way and they say, you know, on the radio all the time, they say, oh, I listen to you every day. Now, I don't mean this mean. Either I am horrible or you're not doing anything with what you're hearing if your life's not changing. How can you listen all day long to the radio? Oh, I listen to CDs and tapes. You may even have tapes. That's terrifying, but you have tapes. Some people don't even know what that is, but they used to be that. I listen all day long to Christian radio, and I'm like, okay, I'm okay with that, but then you should be changing off the charts. And yet you see people struggling with the same old things, not moving, not changing, okay? So let's go to some scripture here, Deuteronomy 11. Deuteronomy 11, verse 16. And this is God talking to his people, warning his people about their lives, about sin. Jump in here at verse 16. Take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them, lest the Lord's anger be aroused against you, and he shut up the heavens so that there be no rain, and the land yield no produce, and you perish quickly from the good land which the Lord is giving you. Therefore, verse 18, therefore, you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. So you say, well, you know, we pray at Thanksgiving over our meal. Okay, I'm not knocking that. That's a good thing. When else do you pray? Well, we're teaching our kids. Now think about this. What exactly are you teaching your kids? Well, you know, how to behave. Okay. So when they come furling out the F word and they've heard that at home, why are we all shocked that our kids are cussing when we're the ones teaching the words? Oh, we teach our children to tell the truth. Mom, it's for you. Tell them I'm not here. Oh, so there's certain situations where you can lie. You say, oh, well, you're splitting hairs. No, you're going to end up, it's a good chance you're going to end up with whatever you put out there. Now, kids can still do whatever they want to do. I get that. A kid can go off. But if you pour a slab and build a house, there's a good chance that house is going to stand. Go to Psalm 18. Okay, so Psalm 18, let's begin verse 1. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The pangs of death surrounded me, and the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ears. Now, I promise you that you're going to say this is oversimplification. So what did he do? He cried out to God, help wanted. So we read those verses and we go, oh, that's so helpful. But when do you cry out to God? And he said, well, what do you mean cry out? If you've ever been in a situation with kids and you can't find a child, Elizabeth, it's not that. And I'll blow the mic if I do what I feel. Elizabeth, I can't find you. So what does it mean to cry out?
You say, well, if I cried out that way, somebody'd hear me. Exactly. Exactly. Now, you might have to soundproof your closet. You say, well, I don't want to get emotional. Let me tell you something. You let sin get in your life, you're going to get emotional. He'll try to kill you. When I have been afraid in my life, when I get afraid, I feel very intensely. So if you decide that you need help, and you're not only going to cry out for help, whatever he says to do, you will do that, your life will change. Your life will change. I promise you, I'll stake my life on the scriptures. So you say, well, this is intense then. This is not a casual thing. No, this is not a casual thing. These things we just read, this is someone, go back and look at what he said. The pangs of death surrounded me, the floods. You start praying unless you're just clueless. And maybe you don't scream out loud, but maybe inside you're screaming, God, please help me. Please help me. God, you've got to help us. Protect us. I've walked into situations where the demonic pressure was so intense, I was throwing armor on. I knew the enemy was there, that he was out to get me. Something was not right. I hadn't put that armor on, and I am throwing the helmet of salvation on, breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with preparation of the gospel, loins girded with truth, shield of faith, you know, sword of the spirit. I am throwing this stuff on. Why? Because I knew I was under attack. So it's game on, and it's not game, it's war on. You've got to stop being shocked that you get your butt kicked every day if you don't go out to fight. Of course you're going to get defeated. So get an idea of crying out for God. If you want your life to change, you will beg him to change your life. So you go before God, who has already given his child to make all this possible. And he's like, okay, now you're bringing it. Now I see your heart. Now I see your passion for him. And you really want something to change. Go to Ezekiel 36:26. Look what he says to him. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. So he's talking about something's going to happen in the future, because back then the Holy Spirit didn't come live in you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. So what did he just say in toto here? Okay, this is not a one thing. How many of you, before you came to Christ, and maybe even since a little bit, know what a hard heart is, like just stone heart, you didn't give a whatever? Raise your hand. Hey, look around the room. These are mean people. I mean, if you had met some of these people before Jesus, and sometimes even with him, they are not and were not pleasant people and had no intention of being pleasant people. Does everybody understand that? You know, it's a, I don't give a fill in the blank. You know what? Get out of my face. You know, it's none of your business. Cold, hard-hearted people. How in the world did you just raise your hand and hear you sit in a church service? Because you got a new heart. And it's astonishing even to you. And sometimes when you know you're being nice, you don't want to be nice. Because this is not who I was, and I miss being mean every once in a while. You know, every once in a while, it's kind of fun. So, but look what happens to them in verse 27. I'll put my spirit within you. Okay, we got that. I'll cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. So even in the Old Testament, it speaks of this thing that will happen to us, believers, that things change from the inside out. So when you apply it on the inside, then it starts to manifest on the outside. Eventually, now I'm big on being patient with people, because there is a category for people being ignorant. Before you go busting somebody in the nose for not living like a Christian, you better find out what they know about living like a Christian, because they may be doing the best they can with what they got, and they don't have much. You say, but they got Jesus, but they don't know how to unpack it. So the reason I go over this stuff over and over and over again is I'm trying to get you to the place where, yes, you know the Holy Spirit of God lives in you. Yes, you read the scripture. Yes, you pray and know that the only way, 1 Corinthians in chapter 2, we looked at that, in chapter 2, where it talks about him revealing the mysteries, what's in there. Okay, so he reveals all that. You go, I didn't know that. And then all of a sudden you put all that together, and then the Holy Spirit says, okay, you're up and running, you know it, you got it, we're gonna do it now. And that's terrifying, because he will have you doing things, saying things, going places.
But I'm telling you, when you get Jesus and he gives you a tender heart, and the wrestling, the enemy saying, oh, you don't want to go over there. No, it'll take time, blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden the Holy Spirit says, you know what? This is not about you. You say, well, it sounds like you're not running your life anymore.
Exactly. Somebody else is running my life. And you know what? That's working out a whole lot better for me and everybody else. You say, well, so you literally hear God say this, this, and this. I have never heard an audible voice, but I'm going to tell you something. I know when my Jesus speaks. Call this person, go see that person. You say, well, that's a crazy way to live. I don't want to swap with you. Because if you're not living that way, that's a crazy way to live. Because you're just kind of making it up as you go.
Okay, go to Matthew 7. And this is one of the simplest places you can go to see this. And you'll say, you've read this before. I'm going to keep reading you the same verses. You would think that teachers would stop teaching students the same ABCs. Have a little creativity. There are certain things you teach because they're basic things. Matthew 7, 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, okay? So you say, I've heard Jesus' sayings, and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. In other words, on a solid, sure foundation. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. And then you have preachers go off and say, and this rock is Jesus. It's not about any of that. It is about that, but it's not. What he said is, it's someone who hears what he says and does them. If you do that, then you're like someone who builds a house on the rock, and the winds come and your house stands because it's built on the rock. But what is the rock? It's doing what Jesus says. Then keep reading. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, in other words, they're not applied inside, will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. So you say, well, how did I fall so easy? If you're not doing what you're hearing, your house is coming down. Don't be shocked. Oh my gosh, what happened? You read the scriptures. You study the scriptures. You memorize the scriptures. You meditate on the scriptures. And then the Holy Spirit of God says, let's do the scriptures. And you go, nah, I'm out. And then your house comes down. How could you get so deep into the process and your house come down? Because you have to do these things. Now, this is not about keeping rules. Please don't misunderstand this. He says, this is not about the do's and don'ts of Christianity. This is about doing things because God has revealed these things to you, that this is how he intends for us to live and what will actually change our lives. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching. Why was it so shocking? For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. What gives you authority? Had a guy in this church move to, this has been back in probably 97, 98. A guy showed up who was a golfer, took lessons from a guy named Hank Haney for 7 years and taught with Hank for 15, I guess. Shows up at church and just looks at me one day and says, I'll teach you to play golf. And this guy was like $260 an hour. And I said, well, you know, I might be able to do like 5 minutes, but you know. You know, so I realized what he was saying. He was gonna gift me this and teach me to play golf. And I told him no. Why? Because I didn't want to waste his time. About a year later, I said, you know what? I'll take you up on that offer. So we go out on a range. And I almost killed him the first day because he talked to me for an hour. I got a value, a $260 value speech telling me about all this. You know what? I don't want to hear what you have to say, dude. I want to hit a golf ball. Right? I'm a little kid out there. Shut up already. Let me hit the ball. So eventually at some lesson, he actually let me try to hit a golf ball. Starts changing things. And I remember a day when I looked at him and I handed him the golf club, I said, you hit it.
And they said, well, why would you do that? Clearly, he knew what he was doing. He knew what he was saying. I wanted to see him do what he was saying. He hit the golf ball. I took it back. I said, okay, I'm just making sure you can do what you're telling me. Now you say, well, what was the big deal there? Jesus was doing what he was telling them. He was not like the Pharisees. He had authority. What gives us authority is that it's who we are. It's not just what we say. And the world is desperate for that. Show me. Tell me it's possible. Now, I'm not trying to discourage anybody who doesn't have a horrible story, but if you have the most screwed up story on the planet and God has changed your life, you have no idea the power you have. Because I can put you on a poster and say, look, let me tell you what this was before and after. You go, there's no way. When Jesus gets done with you, nobody can believe where you came from. It's almost like being born a second time. Like you got a whole new life, a new heart, a new brain, new everything. You say, well, why does my life not look that way? Ask yourself a simple question. Am I actually applying it inside? And these are tough things, I'm telling you. And I've told it repeatedly the day that Claude, the guy that helped me so much, said, read this verse, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. I said, Claude, I am not doing that. And I've told you before what he said. He said, you will. And that was it. And one day I did. Now, I don't always do it, but when something rough happens, and he gets a hold of my little heart, and he says, we're going to be thankful for this, aren't we? And I go, wow, yes, sir, that's what we're going to do. And you start to thank him and praise him in the midst of your pain, and the house stands. The storm hits, the waves hit, the winds hit, and the house stands. So if you're getting tired of building your little house and watching it get washed away, building your house washed away, then ask yourself, why is this keep happening to me? And ask yourself, am I actually applying what it says to my life?
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple, to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's such a priority to us. So join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in. Or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
Maybe one last verse here, and it's in Philippians. And it has a few of these simple things in it. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. So now we got rejoice and gentle. And then verse 6, you cannot blow through verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. So what does the Bible say? Don't be anxious. You say, well, I just can't not be anxious because it says that. Yes, you can. Now, you can't stop on a comma either, though. Be anxious for nothing, but... So people say, oh, the Bible says to not be anxious. I'm, oh, Lord, help me not be anxious. It doesn't say that. It says be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So he sets up a guard, and all of a sudden, where you were anxious, you got peace. It's not even possible unless God does it. So just like that, you can go from being totally anxious to having peace. Who can do that? Nobody but him. But you have to do the middle stuff. Prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving. Let your request be made. Tell him, God, I'm terrified. I have situations where I am completely overrun by fear. And I have to kind of gather myself and go, what the, you know, dude, you're an old man. You should be past this. But we get hit. So Lord, I'm getting anxious. He says, well, you don't have to be. Do this. Keep reading. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. So you say, well, I want peace. I want the God of peace. I want the peace of God. I want peace with God. You can't do it without applying the scripture. Get your soap out, jump in the shower, and put some on. You say, well, how do you know this works? I'm telling you, I got a room full of it.
Thanks for tuning in today to Richard Ellis Talks. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. One last thing, Richard Ellis Talks is a daily program, but also has daily costs. And being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. Maybe you've given to this ministry before or have waited for the right time. Well, we believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellistalks.com. Thank you for your very generous gifts. It truly means so much to us. God bless, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.